All right, good morning. Let's come to order, please, and go on the record. I'm Charlotte Mitchell, Chair of the Utilities Commission, and with me this morning are the following commissioners. When I call your name, please announce your presence. Commissioner Brown Bland.
Did you call on me?
I did. Commissioner Brown Bland is here. Commissioner Gray.
I'm here as well, Madam Chair. If I missed the roll call.
Okay, I haven't gotten to you yet, Commissioner McKissick, but Commissioner McKissick is here for the record. Commissioner Klotfelter.
Yes, good morning.
Commissioner Duffley.
Good morning.
Commissioner Hughes. Commissioner Hughes, are you with us?
Waiting on Commissioner Hughes. I'm here as well, Chair Mitchell.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Gray.
I'm sorry, technical difficulties. I'm here.
All right, we're off to a rough start this morning. All right, there's Commissioner Hughes. In compliance with the State Government Ethics Act, I remind members of the commission of their duty to avoid conflicts of interest and inquire as to whether any member of the commission has a known conflict of interest with respect to matters coming before us. The record will reflect that no conflicts have been identified, so we will proceed with public staff. Electric item P1, Mr. Metz, I believe we are with you.
Good morning. I'm Dustin Metz with Energy Division. Item P1 is for a certificate of environmental compatibility and public convenience of necessity and a waiver of the notice and hearing requirements. The public staff recommends that the commission issue the public staff's proposed order, waiving notice and hearing, and issue the certificate.
Move approval of the recommendation.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that the item be approved as recommended by the public staff. Are there any questions or is there any discussion? All right, hearing none, I'll call the roll for a vote. Indicate your support for the motion with an aye and your opposition with a no. Commissioner Brown Bland.
Aye.
Commissioner Gray.
Aye.
Commissioner Klotfelter.
Aye.
Commissioner Duffley.
Aye.
Commissioner Hughes.
Aye.
Commissioner McKissick.
Aye.
And for the record, I support the motion as well, and the motion carries. All right, thank you, Mr. Metz. We will proceed now with public staff, water item P1. Mr. Junis, you're up.
Thank you, Chair Mitchell. Charles Junis, engineer with the public staff, water, sewer, and telephone division. Water items P1, P3, and P4 filed by Aqua North Carolina, Inc. and docket number W218. Subs 462, 532, and 534, respectively, are notifications of intention to begin water and sewer utility operations in contiguous service areas. The commission staff has brought to our attention a concern regarding the lack of language in the subs 462 and 532 proposed orders addressing requirements for the collection of income tax on contributions in aid of construction. Therefore, the public staff has provided amended proposed orders for these items, which add the following sentence to finding of fact number 5. And I quote, pursuant to the commission's August 26, 2019 order and docket number W-100 sub 57, utility is not required to collect income tax on CIAC from a contributor unless contributions were contracted for on or after October 5th, 2018, close quote. And the commission should have those amended proposed orders available to them. It is recommended that the commission issue the proposed orders recognizing these contiguous extensions.
Move approval of public staff items 1, P1, P3, and P4 amended by Mr. Junis.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that public staff water items P1, P3, and P4 be approved as amended by Mr. Junis here this morning. Any questions or discussion? Mr. Bennick, I see you'd like to be recognized.
That's correct. Might need to call on Mr. Poole. The company, as far as I know, was not aware of this change. before this morning, at least personally, speaking for myself personally, that this is the first I've heard of this. And I don't know whether Mr. Poole is in a position to respond at this point. I'll ask him if he is. We may need a little bit of time to talk about this afterwards and get back with you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rennick. Mr. Poole, you may proceed.
Hey, good morning. I did not have a chance to review the language from the sound of it. I do not believe we would have an objection, but I would like to request the review to read the language just to verify that my understanding of what Mr. Junis's recital was is correct.
Madam Chair, I will move to table my motion.
All right, Mr. Junis.
Madam Chair, I would say that this is consistent with discovery responses and emails exchanged with Mr. Poole. While we did not share the specific language, it would be my representation that this language is consistent with that email exchange in terms of what was understood and the difference between subs 462, 532, and then 534 being different than those two items.
All right, thank you, Mr. Junis. All right, with that, we'll give the company an opportunity to review the specific language that has been proposed for the orders, and we will table these items for consideration at a future date. All right, let's proceed with public staff water item P2. Mr. Junis, I believe we are with you.
Yes, Madam Chair. Water item P2 filed by Aqua North Carolina Inc. and docket number W218-509 is an application seeking a certificate of public convenience and necessity to provide water utility service in White Rock Farm Phase 1 subdivision in Durham County and approval of rates. It's recommended that the commission issue the proposed order granting the franchise and approving rates. I would just add as a slight complicating factor in that ordering language, it assumes that all four of these items would be issued together. And so that language addresses the amount of bond consistent with those four items. And so that would require modification if a decision is made regarding item P2 while the other three are tabled. So just to make everybody aware, either we can table all four. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. Or that item needs some modification as opposed to being issued as written.
I would like to respond.
Chair, the company will look at these items quickly, and we'll be prepared to, assuming there's not a problem, respond by email, say, to commission staff, so that rather than having to bring these items back, if there's no problem, you know, we'd like to have them go ahead and the orders be issued. And so we would be prepared to respond as quickly as possible on all four agenda items by email to commission staff and with copies to the public staff.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Bennett. Then what we're going to do is this. We're going to table consideration of item P2 until we have sign off from the company on the proposed for items 1, 3, and 4. Mr. Poole, did you want to be recognized?
Say that we didn't have a problem with that being tabled.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Poole. All right, the commission has before it for approval its minutes of February 22nd, 2021 staff conference.
Move approval.
Second.
All right, any questions, discussion on the minutes? All right, hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, indicate with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, our minutes of February 22nd, 2021 are approved. All right, at this point in the agenda, we are gonna hear from gas and electric companies on their recent experience with the U.S. Postal Service and whether their companies have been experiencing any difficulties similar to those we've heard of from the water companies. Ms. Pinterest, I see you are on camera, so I will call on you to proceed first.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Mitchell and commissioners. I am Kendra Fentress, appearing on behalf of Duke Energy this morning. And by Duke Energy, I want to be clear, I'm appearing on behalf of Duke Energy Carolinas, Duke Energy Progress, and Piedmont Natural Gas on this issue. Duke Energy appreciates the opportunity to come and describe to the commission how we have stayed on top of the issue of potential delays in postal delivery since that issue first emerged in the media. I don't want to steal Mr. Lawrence's thunder, but what you will hear from Mr. Lawrence today is the good news that we have not experienced widespread postal delays. Mr. Lawrence will describe further to the commissioners how we have responded and will continue to respond to issues concerning any postal delivery delays. And with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence is the company's vice president of revenue services and metering in our customer services organization. Thank you.
Well, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Because the Postal Service is such an integral part of both our billing and payments channels, it's something that we pay a lot of attention to at Duke, whether there's a pandemic or not. And so I'm glad that it's getting attention here, and as Ms. Fentress stated, happy to report that there are no widespread issues that we've had to take drastic action to respond to. However, in order to kind of set the stage, I want to first give you a little context. So Duke Energy, we have our own central cash remittance facility for all of Duke Energy's affiliates, and it's based in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that is the location that processes all the paper checks that are sent in for payment. In addition, we have a bill production vendor whose facilities in Piscataway, New Jersey, produce the bills for DEC and DEP, and whose facility in Dallas, Texas, produces the bills for Piedmont Natural Gas. They have the capability and do report to us postal delivery times from any outbound mail that they send on our behalf. So what we do is we regularly monitor the postmarks that are coming in into our central cash remittance facility to make sure that we aren't seeing any significant outliers that would give us cause for concern. Additionally, we receive regular reports from our vendor on the scan data on the mail pieces that they have sent as well. And I'll share those data with you on the next page here shortly. In addition to that, we meet regularly as a customer services leadership team to just talk about any emergent issues that may arise as a result of customer feedback that we're hearing from inbound calls. And once the media started to cover potential postal delays back in the fall, we were actually explicitly requiring with the with our customer care associates on a daily basis to determine whether there are widespread reports of customers experiencing delayed bills. So just a little bit more context here. We are talking about approximately 73% of Duke Energy customers in North Carolina and South Carolina receive paper bills. In other words, a little bit more than 36% receive e-bills. And Piedmont Natural Gas customers, about 32% of them receive e-bills. So we're approximately 68% of Piedmont Natural Gas customers across our three states. And I'm sorry, I think I said 70. It's 63% of Duke Energy customers receive paper bills. And as Ms. Fentress and I mentioned, the data indicate that there were no widespread delays. We received only isolated reports from North Carolina customers calling us about delivery times. They were relatively few and far between. And in our daily and weekly monitoring of the inbound postmarks, they were all predominantly within the normal windows, which is within 2 to 3 days, sometimes a day or two more, but largely within that period, even around the holidays as well. So given the fact that we had not observed any widespread postal delays impacting our customers, we decided to manage this on an exception basis and basically instructed all of our customer care specialists that if they received any inquiries from customers about delayed bills, or a customer stated that they felt that they mailed their payment on time and did not post their account on time, that our customer care specialists were automatically authorized to suspend late payment charges, which we know isn't really relevant right now in North Carolina because they are currently suspended across the board, and also could suspend any pending disconnections on any customer account, again, who made that contact. So this next graph just shows the data that we received from our build production vendor. You can see the lines represent the total volume. That's just to put into context the number of pieces that were being mailed on our behalf in each month by our vendor. And then the stack bars, the columns represent the average data delivery from those data. And the blue represents Duke Energy, Carolina's Duke Energy progress. Again, those pieces coming from New Jersey. And as you can see there, there was an increase from the low to mid threes up until a peak in December of about 4.5 days, but certainly well within the service level that we would expect. And then that came down, has come down significantly since the peak in December. On the from the pieces coming from Dallas on behalf of Piedmont Natural Gas, the performance actually was better. You can see that those bars actually only start in November, and that's because we moved to the current vendor. We consolidated the contract with our current vendor at Piedmont on November 5th. So prior to that, we were actually working with a different vendor and did not have the same tracking capabilities. But as you can see there, delivery times were actually even more efficient coming from Dallas to the North Carolina area. I do want to share one specific instance, though, and this just happened within the last 2 weeks. So as we know, there was a pretty serious winter storm that hit the Texas area and it impacted Dallas, Texas, where that build production facility is that serves Piedmont Natural Gas. On February 16th, we were notified by our vendor that the Texas Postal Facility that receives those Piedmont Natural Gas bills was temporarily shut down due to loss of power. On the 17th, they took delivery of those bills, so there was a one-day delay, but that actually included bills from the 15th, 16th, and 17th because of the President's Day holiday. And then on February 18th, the United States Postal Service posted on their website that site was back to business as usual. However, based on our discussions with our vendor and our desire to continue to err on the side of customers, we made the decision that we would be suspending disconnections for any customers in that 5-day window, just because it will be some time until we have an indication as to whether those pieces suffered any significant delay and impacted customers' ability to pay timely. And so with that, that's the information that I have that I prepared to share. I'm happy to take any questions you may have.
All right, thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Thank you, Ms. Fentress. Questions for Duke Energy from any of the commissioners? All right, it looks like we have no questions for you all. Thank you again for this update. We appreciate your time this morning and your willingness to keep us apprised.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, Ms. Gregg, I see you are now on camera, so we will hand it over to you.
Thank you, Chair Mitchell, and good morning, to the commissioners. I am Mary Lynn Gregg with the law firm of McGuire Woods, appearing on behalf of Dominion Energy, and that is Dominion Energy North Carolina Electric and Dominion Energy North Carolina Gas, or PS&C, presenting information to the commission on behalf of the companies are Mr. Frank Hinkle, who is General Manager of Customer Service for Dominion Energy North Carolina Electric, and Mr. Sam Dozier, who is General Manager for Customer Service for DENC Gas, or PSNC. With that, I will turn it over to Mr. Hinkle, and I will note, Mr. McCoy, my share function is not working currently, so if you could allow me to share in just a few minutes, I'd appreciate it.
Good morning. This is Frank Hinkle, General Manager of Customer Service for North Carolina Electric. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to appear before the Commission this morning to discuss the USPS mail delays and the impacts to our electric customers that we experienced in North Carolina. For Dominion Energy, mail delays started around the mid part of December. And I will note that they did return to normal around the February 10th timeframe. When we started noticing these delays, we contacted the USPS Processing and Distribution Center. This is the location that the majority of our mail-in payments for our customers in North Carolina goes through. And then also we reached out to one of our local post offices, a small portion of our mail-in payments for our electric customers in North Carolina are sent to some designated PO boxes at this particular facility. Based on the USPS updates that we were given, the main reasons for the delays were twofold, higher than normal mail volume, as well as staffing shortages due to COVID-19. After this initial contact to both the distribution center as well as the local post office, we did continue to reach out to our contacts at these two locations to voice concerns about the delays, as well as to inquire about updates on the mail delivery and when this mail delivery would return to normal. To ensure that our customer service agents were prepared to respond to any questions that our customers in North Carolina might have regarding the mail delays, we updated our knowledge management system with talking points for our agents. This knowledge management system is our online resource tools where we post various alerts for the agents, updates, talking points, as well as any other useful information that would be available or needed for the agents to serve our customers. If we did receive a call from a North Carolina customer and they were inquiring about the status of their payment and they had a disconnect notice on their bill, we ensured that any disconnect order that might be in the system is canceled, and we noted the account accordingly. We also received about 26 calls from our electric customers in North Carolina, voicing concerns that they had not received their bill. Our agents informed these customers of the mail delays and that we are not currently assessing late fees. And then we also took an opportunity to speak to these customers about the benefits of e-bill and e-payment. Maybe if we could advance to the next slide, please. There we go. Thank you. As represented on this slide, you'll see on the left-hand side about 61% of payments received from our electric customers in North Carolina between the timeframes mentioned on this slide were received electronically. On the right-hand side of this slide, this represents the percentage of bills that are delivered electronically, which is about 30%. And this was on some data from January the 31st. We do take various opportunities throughout the year using various communication channels to promote electronic billing and electronic payments. For example, we send targeted emails to customers who are enrolled in Manage Account, which is our online customer portal, but are not enrolled in eBill. We also have various eBill and e-payment promotions in our electronic newsletters. And then also we have ongoing promotions in monthly communications such as bill messages, bill inserts, and then also we do promotions on our bill envelopes. As we approach all the holidays this year, we're going to be closely monitoring, as we always do, mail delivery, and we'll have a heightened sense of awareness of any delays that we notice. And if we do notice these delays, we will once again make sure that our customer service agents are prepared to respond to any questions or concerns from our customers. And then in addition, we will also reach out to our contacts at both the distribution facility as well as the local post office to report delays. And with that, I will take any questions.
All right, thank you. Questions from the commission for Dominion.
Madam Chair, I did not have questions for either company, but I would say that I'm appreciative, and it's good to know that both companies do look at these particular issues and items as a regular part of operations. So that's very good. And I would request that if they do note a change in mail norms, such that the commission should respond by any need to change any of our timing rules that relate to mail, that they would bring that to our attention so that we might act on it promptly and accordingly. So thank you very much for coming and addressing these issues with us.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Brown Bland. Any other questions from commissioners? All right, well, I would reiterate Commissioner Brown Bland's request. Please do keep us apprised. We asked the same thing of the water companies last week when they were here with us. And please make sure we are made aware of any delays or other causes for concern associated with billing and incoming payment situations. And to the extent that we need to take action or otherwise consider the rules currently in effect, we need to hear from you all on that. All right, at this point in time, I will see if there are any—
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I just noticed as you were speaking, I saw the third, I think it was the third slide popped up, and it was related to PSNC Dominion or Dominion PSNC. And it seemed the numbers were similar, but there was a greater percentage enrolled in e-bill. So that all looked good. And I just wanted to note that we saw that slide.
Thank you. Chair Mitchell, this is Mary Lynn Grigg again. Mr. Dozier is happy to present on that slide and was prepared to do so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Grigg. We didn't give you all a chance to finish. All right, Mr. Dozier, you may go ahead. I apologize.
Not a problem at all, Madam Chair. And in fact, if that's the worst thing that happens to me this week, I think we'll all be okay. My name is Sam Dozier. My responsibility is primarily, like the other gentlemen have mentioned this morning, mine is specific to PSNC. or the gas company, Dominion's Gas Company in North Carolina. And the points are very similar. We experienced some mild delay. I do appreciate Mr. Lawrence's comments, as well as Mr. Henkel's, around the fact that it was fairly minimal, the delay we've seen. We directed our reps to certainly, if a customer were to indicate to us that the mail delay has in fact affected them, we would cancel the disconnect, cancel credit action, whatever it may be. And that's generally our mode of operation for any similar issues. There is a good story to tell on our customer mix and how they make payments. Only 17% of our payments are made through the mail. And that's something that we have worked very hard on for a number of years to encourage our customers to use a more efficient or effective means for payment processing. They certainly have a number of options that they can use, but through time, only that we've gotten to the point that around 17% of payments are being made via the mail. 82% of the payments, as you would expect, are made through electronic channels, and that grows every year. We're really proud of that. And then the fact that 46% of our actual bills are delivered electronically or paperless is something that we're really proud of. We did, throughout the pandemic, a number of times specifically reached out to customers who may still be getting a paper bill, but they do have an online account or they have an email address associated with their account. We did encourage them to receive their bills through electronic means, and many of them have converted, if you will, to non-paper bills. So it's a good story there, and it is a consistent story, but we have seen a lot of success there. One additional point I'll point out, and by the way, we look at regular speech analytics to ensure, whether it's this specific issue or any other issues, what are customers telling us? I mean, we've got a number of ways to do that. One is doing speech analytics, see what customers are mentioning to us when they do in fact call us, and but no meaningful concern there as it relates to postal delays. Somewhat similar to Mr. Lawrence's comments about Texas, mid-February, when the weather was pretty tough in Texas, we did get notification from our payment processing vendor. This is the vendor that primarily processes debit, credit cards, payments because of PCI compliance. They were experiencing some intermittent issues. They had to move their data center as well as their contact center to other locations because of power outages. What we did on our end was suspended disconnects just out of an abundance of caution. We really think it probably only could potentially have affected a handful of PSNC customers, but just to ensure that were not the case, we did suspend disconnects mid-February. So we did have that issue. And then, as you know, from the most recent order, residential disconnects are not being worked in the month of March. With that said, I am more than happy to answer any specific questions.
All right, thank you, Mr. Dozier. Questions for Mr. Dozier?
Chair Mitchell, I have a short question.
All right, Commissioner Hughes.
Yeah, I really appreciate the analytics that you've provided us, and it really helps understand what's going on. I had a related question, though, and you don't have to answer it now. With all of this data collection that you do, is it also possible to see what percentage of all of those different payment streams, particularly the mail and the electronic, are made with credit card versus paper check? I just was curious if that was, that was something that was very easy to produce.
I'll speak on our behalf. I would say it's easier, Commissioner Hughes, to provide that information. For the most part, any of those mailed-in payments, as well as possibly walk-in payments, which was only 1% for us, would be check. I don't, to your specific question, there may be some mailed-in payments that someone's writing a debit or credit card on their pay stub, but most of those would be checked. But we could probably get you that information at a later date.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, any additional questions? All right, again, thank you all very much for your time this morning. We appreciate hearing from you and the information you've shared with us. All right, with that, is there any additional business for the commission this morning? Hearing none, we will be adjourned, and let's go off the record, please. Thank you.